In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that you chose to spend this early morning time with us here as we worship together our Lord and our God. If you are visiting with us, we hope that you are warmly welcomed by those seated around you and that you will all take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside pew so that you may greet one another by name following the worship service. Everyone is invited to a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after our worship today. Our newsletter, copies of our newsletter are available. If you receive it by mail, you may pick yours up on the table in the narthex, this side entryway, as where many of you might have come through. If you would like to be on our electronic version of that, it was mailed out this morning, so you may not have checked your email already, but if you would like to receive it electronically, please make note on the welcome pads that you would like to do that. The Bible Academy is meeting through the summer. However, it will not be meeting next week during the July 4th holiday weekend, but will resume again at 9 o'clock on the 13th of July, a great time to join in study together as they continue to work through the Gospel of Mark. Today, after worship, all of our youth, 6th through 12th grade, are invited to go upstairs with Hilda, Kevin, and Juliet to do some planning for some of our summer activities that are not already on the calendar, but to share together in that time. I don't think it will be a long meeting, but please head upstairs, grab something to eat, and take it upstairs and help give some feedback as to what we are doing. That's our youth grades entering 6th grade through 12th grade. Please take note of the announcements that you'll find in the calendar in the bulletin this morning, including an announcement that we are finally up and running with online giving. I think it's taken us about a year and a half, but thanks to Brooke Moles and Brian Shim, we are up and running on the webpage. So please take note of that if you would like to give to the church in that way. Other announcements this morning.
Good morning. Just want to remind you all again that our barbecues, summer barbecues on the front lawn of the church will be starting again on July 8th, all through the rest of the month of July and through August, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. We are in need of co-hosts to sign up to help us with grilling and just a little bit of setup beforehand. So if you are interested in doing that, please see myself or Sally Lockhart. There's a sign-up sheet also on the board in the Hope Room.
And the responsibilities of co-hosts are also noted on that next to the sign-up sheet, so you'll be able to see that as well. And Sherry.
So two announcements. One is just for the 20s and 30s get-together that we have coming up this week. It's Thursday, July 3rd at 6:30, and it's hosted by Jim and Sally Lockhart. So if you haven't received the e-vite and you'd like to attend, just let me know during coffee hour, and I can go ahead and send you that e-vite. And then the second announcement is for worship band. If anybody plays an instrument or likes to sing and would like to join the worship band, just let me know during coffee hour as well, and we can go ahead and get your information. Thanks.
Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. Please join with me in the responsive call to worship. We cry out to God, "How long, O Lord, will you forget us forever? How long will God's face be hidden? Even when our enemies seem to win, we trust in God's steadfast love. Our hearts rejoice in God's salvation. Come to worship and sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with us." Let us sing our praise. We read in Scripture, "Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, for truly it is in turning to God with our whole selves that we receive new life." In that promise, let us come confessing our sin, reaching for new life in God, first in silence and then praying together. We pray together. Holy God, we acknowledge to you, to ourselves, and to one another that we are not what you have called us to be. We have not stood by our faith, shared our hope, or reached out with love. We have done unkind and shameful deeds, spoken harsh words, and left undone the things that could have made a difference in the lives of those around us. We have failed to speak and act for peace and justice in our world. Have mercy upon us. Forgive our sin and change our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing verse 3 of our Song of Confession, God of Compassion, in mercy befriend us. The mercy of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
time during which we share our joys and concerns. Are there people here who would like to share any joys or concerns?
Our former pastor, Joe Miller, spent the week in the hospital. They thought they had a bunch of symptoms that looked like a heart problem. However, they've ruled all of those out, and it's just one of those things. I think he'll be discharged today.
Continued prayers for my my stepmom, Carol, who continues to recover. She was hospitalized 2 weeks ago for dehydration and has continued to come back. She'd had a kidney transplant about 8 years ago, and since then, it's difficult for her to kind of fight infection. And my grandfather, Leroy, is still in the hospital. He's also having some kidney issues that they're trying to figure out, and because he is 97, is not a candidate for many of the interventions. So it's just a matter of them trying to figure out the best thing for right now. But he really wants to go home soon. They're looking at rehab, which he's fighting. He wants to go home. So just prayers for him and prayers for patience from both of my dad and my uncle.
I wanted to say I have my granddaughter and her beautiful mother here with me today, and also another joy, after a long search, my husband has found a full-time job, so.
Ooh, all right.
I have a joy. My grandson, David, is going to be inducted into the Eagle Scouts today. So I appreciate prayers for his continued blessings. Thank you.
Just prayers for us as we prepare to move into our new home on July 29th for ease of packing with three children in the house. And also, we have an open house on our current home today, so prayers that it goes well and hopefully get a buyer soon. Thanks.
Alpha.
Papa's here visiting from Texas.
Ooh, all right.
I have a joy that my son has successfully negotiated security and has arrived safely from Pakistan for 2 weeks. We have a request for prayers from Judy Babcock for her son's father-in-law, Dennis O'Keefe, who has cancer, and so they need prayers for not only Dennis, but all of his family as well. And Michael Pruitt, who was the interim at Calvin Presbyterian Church, is in hospice, and they crave your prayers as well.
Thanks all for the opportunity to travel to my parents last week and see them in their new assisted living environments, where they proclaimed that they feel very safe and loved. And as we continue to figure out what's going on with my father, and as my mother's memory worsens, we're grateful for all the time that we have with them. Let us pray. In quietness and trust is our strength. In prayer, our hearts open to God, creator of the universe, redeemer of all humankind, sustainer of life itself. We pray for our world, O God, torn and in despair with sin and war, hunger and injustice. God, may you come into the midst of all that needs new direction and hope. Inspire rulers to lead with your grace and love for the good of all your people. Settle divisions that tear people apart. for you alone are God of all people. We pray particularly this day for the people and leaders of Iraq, for those in the Midwest torn apart by extreme weather, for continuing violence and kidnap in Nigeria. We give thanks, O God, for lives that have been well lived and the grace of memories as we pray for those who grieve. We pray for Gerson in the loss of his aunt in Brazil. We pray for Michael Pruitt as he enters into hospice and remember the times of ministry we shared together with him. We give thanks, great God, for doctors and all those in the medical community and the gifts that they offer. For those coming through surgery well in this week, we pray for those who discern next steps of treatment, for Dennis particularly. We continue to pray your healing hand upon Joe Miller, for Carol, for Leroy. We pray, O Lord, for all those who are in transition in these days, for it seems like so many, for the Fisher family in their move this weekend, for the Vacas as they await this new arrival, for weddings for Elizabeth and Kyle on Saturday, in thanksgiving for Dana's new job and Mia's presence with us this day. We pray, O Lord, for your presence and your strength to be with the Bay family, both in the open house this day and for results there and for their move on July 29th. We gather, O God, not only to ask and to seek and to know that you are ever there, but to celebrate the blessings of our lives. And we give thanks that they are listed week after week, time after time, as you answer prayers. We thank you this day and celebrate Joanne's grandson David's Eagle Scout Award. We thank you for visiting family with the Webbers, for Grandpa, for Papa, for Aaron here safely from Pakistan. In the rhythms of these days of summer, O God, may we stop and see your hand and sense your presence in the opportunities before us. We pray for the continuing work of our pastor nominating committee and the way that you are working to bring new pastoral leadership here. For these new officers today as they step forward to lead in this time. Make each one of us, O God, disciples in your word and spirit alone, that what we do may be your work, and what we will may be your will, today and always, in the manner of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time for the children's message. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
For several weeks, we've been looking at these two things up here on the platform. Do you have any idea what they are? They're colorful, aren't they? Yeah. You see them up there, too. That's right. Very good. But do we know what they mean? Oh, my. When looks like an A, you're right, absolutely. Up there, it doesn't look quite as much like an A. It's a Greek letter saying alpha. It's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, alpha. Okay, and the other one over there, which is also up there, they look pretty much alike in the two places. That, right, is omega. Very good. Alpha and Omega, and that means the beginning and the end. And who do you suppose they're talking about is the beginning and the end of everything? Right. Very good. God. God is the beginning of everything. Why is God considered the beginning of everything? Right. He made everything. He's the creator. God is the creator. So God is the beginning of everything we see, even you and me, all the trees, everything. God is the creator, so God is the beginning. And the end, that means God is going to be with us always, 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 and forever. There's never going to be an end to God, because God is and always will be, always has been. And we can't really explain it. All we can do is say, I know God is. Right? And we believe in God and we love God and we know that God is always going to be there forever and ever and ever. And we'll say God will be here with us forever and ever and ever. Amen is sometimes one of the things we hear said in church. So that's the Alpha and the Omega, and we always will have it up there on the window even when we don't have it up here anymore. And so we'll remember God is always with us. The beginning and the end. Beginning and the end of every day, we should say, thank you, God, because that's why we have the day. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this beautiful summer day, and thank you for summer days when we can run and play and swim and just have so much fun. Thank you for creating all of these things around us and being with us always, from the beginning to the very, very end, always and always with us. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, by your grace we may hear with understanding what you say to us today. Amen. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The New Testament reading this morning is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is number 324, "Open My Eyes That I May See."
Thank you.
There's a Yiddish folk tale that asks God why God did not send an angel to tell Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And the angels would not do it. God asked them, and they said to God, if you want a message of death, do it yourself. I've kind of felt that way for 18 years now. And why I decided to treat this particular passage for a sermon topic, I really don't know. Other than the fact that I've avoided it for 18 years. It's a very difficult text. It's harsh. It's cruel, even, this story. And it's not an easy one to hear. Because no one wants to think that we have a God who would ask somebody to sacrifice their child. And so I have read over this text, and I have read it, and I have read it in Hebrew, and I have read it in English, and I have studied these words, and I put off writing this sermon until Saturday afternoon, which is something I never do. If I don't have my sermon written by Thursday afternoon, I'm really late on writing my sermon. So it's a difficult subject. It's one that's easy to put off trying to talk about. Look at me, I've put it off for 18 years after all. And so I look at this text and I wrestle with it and I try to understand why it is a part of all of the wonderful stories about Abraham. It says very explicitly, God, after all of these things, tested Abraham. Well, I would like to have translated it the softer way, which says, tempted Abraham. But in the end, it really does not make much difference. Because the reality is, God tested Abraham. After all of these things, well, what are they all? Well, Abraham did this very faithful thing of picking up his family and moving. But if you'll remember the text from last week, he sent Ishmael and his mother Hagar out into the wilderness for probable death. Because that's what Sarah wanted, and yet that's also what God assured him it was okay to do. But then there was this kind of blemish in Abraham's faithful life in which he passed off his wife Sarah as his sister to the Pharaoh. And in fact, gave her to the Pharaoh to be his wife. Because Abraham was afraid the Pharaoh would kill him. So at this particular point in life, after all of this, God decides to test Abraham. God decides to test Abraham. And you're going to see me using more notes today than you've ever seen me use before. Because this is something I have wrestled with. And if God asks Abraham to sacrifice this child, how is he going to be the fulfillment of this covenant that God made with him? His very name, Abraham, is translated as the father of the multitudes. Doesn't God get it? If Isaac is sacrificed, how can Abraham be the father of the multitudes? There's something amiss here. So we have to wrestle with this. How can this possibly be? We're not going to have people as numerous as the stars. One commentary I read said, well, the English translation left out the word please. Well, I studied my Hebrew text over and over again. I couldn't find please in there anywhere. So that, you know, making it a little softer, that one was out the window. Then I thought, oh, well, God's omniscient, right? So God knew that really God at the beginning was going to provide this other sacrifice. And so that's why God did it this way. But we can't even take that out because it says later here in the text that now I know. God says, now I know. So God didn't know up front what all was going to happen. So we can't plead omniscient God to get us off the hook on this text either.
So here we are, we're still stuck. And as I read this text, with a lot of help from my reader's aids, I kept seeing that at least three times it says, "Here I am." Hanani in Hebrew. Abraham hears God cry out, "Abraham," and Abraham says, "Here I am." His son, Isaac, says, "Father." Abraham says, "Here I am." And God, on top of the mountain, when Abraham's ready to sacrifice Isaac, says, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham says, "Here I am, Hanani." Three times it's in there. Hanani is not just saying, "Well, here I am, standing behind the table." Hanani is saying, "I am very present to you. I am ready to listen, and I am ready to do whatever you ask of me." And Abraham is just as present to his son, Isaac, as he is to God. The second thing I discovered as I kept reading through this text over and over was that the word "see" occurs at least four times. See, not in your translation, however. As Abraham walks towards the mountain, he sees the mountain, very literal, see. But then in verse 8, it says, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." But the very word that is used here for provide can also be translated see. So it can actually be saying here, God will see on the mountain. What God will see is not real clear. Well, let's see. Will God see Abraham with a knife raised? Will God see Isaac lying there on the altar ready to be slaughtered with big scared eyes and anxiety radiating from his body? Will God see the ram caught? It's not clear, but God sees and God knows. And then later, it very explicitly says, Abraham sees the ram that's caught by its horns. Very explicit, sees. And then the whole text closes with "the Lord will provide." It shall be on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Again, the word can be translated, on the mount of the Lord, God sees. So I'm going around thinking, being very present, here I am, and seeing. It's important, or it wouldn't be here all these number of times in this short reading. So Abraham is an example for us of how we must be very, very present to God, open to God and what God wants us to do, even when sometimes it is the most horrific thing God might ask us to do. Or if God is asking us to give up the most precious things that we treasure. Sometimes it is a matter of letting children go. Yes, they go off to college, you have to let them go. Yeah, right. They go off to kindergarten, you have to let them go. This is not a text about child sacrifice, because there are so many other places in Scripture where it speaks explicitly against child sacrifice. In Leviticus 18:21, God says, "You shall not give any of your offspring to sacrifice them." Jeremiah reports God saying, "They keep on building the high places to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I did not command, nor did it come into my mind." God's never even thought of it. Ezekiel relates, "When you offer your gifts and make your children pass through the fire, you defile yourselves with all your idols to this day." So it is clear that God is not in favor of child sacrifice. So then we go back to Abraham and Isaac. God wants us to see, to be present to God, but God also wants us to see. God is testing Abraham, and we hear this word test. What do we think, test? What do you think of when you hear the word test? I felt like I was being tested when I tried to get my Rhode Island license plate. They do not want people to move to Rhode Island. They do everything they can do to discourage you. The testing, when you're being pushed to the very limit of all that you can endure, is another form of testing. But then, what is our most frequent occurrence of the word test? How about school? Test after test. And this time of year, students have just finished a whole slew of them. A test, and I say this as a former teacher, is an assessment of whether you have mastered something and are ready to move on to the next thing. So perhaps after all of these things that Abraham has done well or not done well, God wants to know if Abraham truly has his values where they should be, and is he ready to move on to the next step, which is to literally be the father of nations. Because as we know, Abraham is named as the father of Muslims, Jews, and Christians. So perhaps God wants to know whether Abraham has his priorities straight, and is he ready to put all this other baloney behind him and truly be faithful and trusting of God in all things. And when he says in verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son, maybe Abraham really believes God is going to provide. And therefore, Abraham can risk the possibility that his son will have to be sacrificed because he really does believe God will provide. And in believing that God truly will provide, Abraham is saying, God is God, the all-powerful, capable of doing the most amazing things in the world, and God can, even in the middle of the most horrendous situations, provide what is needed. And what Abraham needs God to provide in this situation is life for his son. And that is exactly what God does. God not only sees, but God provides all of the needs for Abraham. And the most precious thing at this time is the life of his son. And so Abraham shows God, and God can very cheerfully, I suppose, say, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, I know. That you fear God. And fear is not that scared kind of thing. Fear in biblical language frequently means to revere, to hold in high esteem, to hold up the highest place possible. So God knows now that Abraham holds God absolutely the highest place possible, even above his son. If we had talked about Matthew 10 last week as was a possibility, we would have read, "Do not think," Jesus says, "that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household." Another very difficult text. in a world where we value our families and our children. It is still saying God is the supreme one. And we have to hold God above everything else. Everything Abraham has, this beautiful son, is obviously a gift from God because his wife, Sarah, was barren until she was past childbearing years. And now, all of a sudden, she has a child. Abraham, in Hebrews or someplace, says he was as good as dead before Isaac was born. So God has given this child to them. God provides, God gives everything to Abraham. God gives everything to us. Nothing we have is ours. Everything we have is a gift from God. And as being a gift from God, we are to treasure it and value it and be good stewards of it. But like Abraham was asked to give up his son, his most precious thing, we too are at times asked to give to God our most precious things. It might be that God asks us to give more in our pledges to the church. It might be that God takes away one job to call us to another job in which we will serve God in a different way. It may be that God asks us to let our children go to faraway places where they are in danger constantly for a job, because that's where they can serve God best. And God knows exactly what it's like to give up the thing that is dearest in the world to you, because God sent his only son into the world to die on a cross. And in the midst of that horrible, horrible situation, God brings life. And in that life-giving, that resurrection of Jesus, God promises each and every one that even out of death, we will be raised to life eternal. God does provide. God brings life, even in the midst of death. Praise God for life and all that we have. Amen.
Please stand and read with me the affirmation of faith as printed in the bulletin. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church.
You're not the clerk. We call forward Ryan Broderick to be ordained and installed as an elder, Sabina Asante, Shirley Jones, and Milton Liu to be ordained and installed as deacons, Lori Gerard to be installed as an elder, and Christian Ofe to be installed as a deacon.
Please join me responsively as you find it in your bulletin. There are different gifts,
but it is the same Spirit who gives them.
It's not in the bulletin, so sorry. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through different people in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves God's purposes through them all. Each one is given a gift of the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together we are the body of Christ and individually members of Him.
Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray and make His church useful in the world, and we call women and men to faith so that in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord alone. Within our common ministry, some of us are members are chosen for particular work as teaching elders, ruling elders, or deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering our Lord who said, "Whoever among you who wants to be great must first become the servant of all, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the servant of all people." Jesus, as God's Son, came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life to set others free. Ryan, Lori, Milton, Sabina, Shirley, and Chris, God has called you by the voice of this church to serve Jesus Christ in a special way. You know who we are, and you still said yes. You know what we believe, and you understand the work for which you have been chosen. Please show your desire now then to be ordained and installed by answering the following ordination and installation questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge Him, Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you?
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of the Church as authentic and reliable expressions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? For those who are being ordained as elders and installed, will you be faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in governing bodies of the church and in your ministry? Will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
And for our deacons, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
And the questions for the congregation. Do we, the members of this congregation, accept Lori Gerard and Ryan Broderick as ruling elders, Sabina Asante, Shirley Jones, and Milton Liu as deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do. And Christian O'Fay as well. We do.
Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church. If so, say, we do.
For the ordination, all of those of you who have already been ordained are invited to come forward to lay on the hands.
Okay. So we the people to be ordained to kneel down in front. So, Ryan, Milton, can you kneel? Sabina?
There we go.
Others, lay your hands upon all in church. Please come forward.
Almighty God, in every age, you have chosen people to lead your loyal people. God of grace, who called us to a common ministry as ambassadors of Christ, trusting us with the message of reconciliation, give us courage and discipline to follow where your servants rightly lead us, so that together we may declare your wonderful deeds and show your love to the world. We thank you for the people whom you have called to serve you. Fill them with the right measure of your Holy Spirit so that they may serve you with energy and love. Bring forth their gifts and lead them to the same mind that was in Christ Jesus our Lord, so that they may be faithful disciples as long as they shall live. Through them, bless the ministry and mission of this congregation and the church and the world through Jesus Christ our Savior, to whom we give all glory and honor. Amen.
Don't go away yet, though. I have a charge for you. Don't leave yet. Ryan, Lori, Milton, Shirley, Sabina, and Christian, you are now elders and deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation, and we are greatly blessed and pleased. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Serve in peace, and may the love that you feel this day, surrounded in this ordination prayer, in this installation of our time together, always inspire your words and deeds to God's glory. Welcome to this ministry that we share together in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Get to work.
Let us now bring forth our tithes and offerings. us pray. Almighty God, we dedicate these tithes and offerings to be blessed and multiplied by you. We pray that you will use them to enable us to be present to our neighbor, to provide for the needs around us, and to bring forth the good news of the risen Christ Jesus to our world. Amen. Our final hymn is number 2173 in the small hymnal, Shine, Jesus, Shine.